Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And we're talking about church. We're talking about ministers. We're talking about the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. And we're talking about paths in society, choices that we make, choices to do things this way or go in that direction. How do we operate? I mean, obviously, one path is to get married. How do you choose that? How do you choose who will be your wife or your husband? Will you love, honor, and cherish them until death do you part? Can you make that kind of commitment? Will you keep to that kind of commitment? Do you have the character? Will you be able to do this, that, or the other thing? Are you going to become a part of a church, a congregation? Are you going to go into business? So we've talked about business. We've talked about, you know, we really jumped around quite a bit at the beginning when we talked about the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and this kind of institution, which governments are institution, Boy Scouts is an institution, church is an institution, a congregation is sort of an institution too. It's a free assembly, but you've instituted the idea of coming together. Now, what binds you together changes the way in which you will relate to that institution, changes the way you will relate to people in that institution. And those choices of how you do things are the paths of your life, the way you go. It's not just, you know, did I rob somebody today? Did I beat somebody up? Did I kill somebody? These are, you know, commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not covet. Honor thy father and thy mother. These are directing you. The guidelines, the commandments are called really guidelines. They're saying if you don't do this, this will happen. You know, like the Sabbath. Everybody makes a big deal out of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about debt. It's about working and earning your time off. It uses a seven-day cycle. You know, God worked for 6 days and then took the seventh day off. But the key thing here is that he worked first and then took time off. I know guys who make a big deal out of keeping the Sabbath on this day or, you know, on a Saturday rather than a Sunday or on this calendar or that calendar. And really, it's about debt. It's about, did you earn what you got? Did you pay for it up front? Or did you go into debt? Sabbath is about not being in debt, earning your day off, doing the work, and then taking the day off. Even the cutting of wood that you see, were they really talking about somebody sawing firewood up out there in the desert, cutting wood on the Sabbath? Or are those such metaphors that we've lost the meaning? We have been unmooring the meaning and the metaphors of that language, a heavily metaphored language, heavily symbolic language, where you have the same word meaning reins of control that it means kidney, and the same word that means honor means liver. Same as we talk about having a heart means loving somebody or caring about them. If you take all those metaphors out, you can create a mindless, ritualistic religion that completely unmoored itself from the principles and precepts of God. So that it's that you actually have people that say that we believe in God, we believe in what his messengers have said, but they're actually doing the exact opposite. That's what happens when you unmoor the precept and principles from what you're doing. You've taken it and made it a ritual that rather than righteousness. So anyway, we've talked about religion as how you perform your duty to God and your fellow man, and that is how you take care of the needy of your society. That should be separate from the state, which is how you deal with criminals, which is actually, in a way, how you provide for the needy of your society. If somebody's beating somebody up or robbing somebody and you stop them, you're providing a need for society. You're protecting the innocent. You're tending to what Christ calls the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And just like with the Girl Scouts, you need to do it from the grassroots up. You need to be responsible and come to the defense and protection of others, whether they're being beat up by criminals in the street or criminals in the courts. I was a part of a court watch. I didn't belong to court watch. I didn't sign up for it, but they would call me and I would go because I have an experience with law. My father was an attorney. I would go to court with him. I studied a little bit of the law over the years, and so I would go there and I would just be a witness. And the fact is, there's a spiritual power that comes into those courtrooms. If you come in with that Holy Spirit, in order to come in with that Holy Spirit, you must come in the righteousness of Christ. Not with a rebellious spirit, but with a spirit that is seeking righteousness and trying to know, not judgmental, leaving the power to God, but you're simply bringing in yourself as a conduit of His Spirit. Amazing things can go on. So anyway, that's why we take certain paths, because you're not going to find God along certain paths that the world offers you. You must follow the paths that God offers you, that He has laid out for you, the making straight the ways of righteousness. So this idea of why church, why do we need a church? A lot of people say, oh, well, I have a group that I meet with and we have a good time and, you know, we love one another and we actually do charity around Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that stuff. That is completely self-serving religion. It is not going to get you anywhere close to God. Christ's faith is every day. Therefore, providing the daily bread is an everyday, full-time job. Unless you don't mind going without eating between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you have to actually be putting together a social welfare system that provides all the needs. I read an article. I don't think I have it open anymore. But I had read an article about some nuns that were supposedly getting this terrible treatment. They had taken care of the elderly for years and years, and now they were in trouble with this new thing that everybody calls Obamacare and affordable health something or other. But anyway, the reality is they haven't been taking care of the elderly. I'll lay you odds, 100 to 1. They haven't been taking care of the elderly. They've been providing services, but they've been collecting government money because the government is paying for the care of those people. Now, I'm not saying that those individual nuns and anybody else who's working there voluntarily are not really dedicated and really making a lot of the sacrifices. The reality is, the caregiver is the one who pays the bill. The other people are just working for hire. Now, we know they're working for hire because they're receiving government funding to take care of the needy, I assume. Could be wrong. Maybe they're entirely taking care of the needy out of free will offerings. I think we could do that. I don't think we have to tax anybody to take care of the needy of society. I think if you're going to take care of everybody who says they're the needy of society, well, then you probably have to tax. But you know, there's some needy of society that they shouldn't be taken care of. You shouldn't be taking care of them. They are the foolish virgins. You're supposed to slam the door in their face. That's what God said. That's what Christ said. Now, I don't think you should do it casually, because they might be repentant. But I tell you, if people were to contribute, I'd build an old folks home right here. I wouldn't make it an old folks home. I'd make it a refuge, a rescue house. Rescue from old age, rescue for unwed mothers, rescue for battered wives. And when they come there, you know what they do? They take care of each other. You know, they have to, you know, the young pregnant girl, she's got to get up and make breakfast for the old guy who can't get out of his wheelchair. That's right. And we'll have the old guy watching out the window, watching the sheep. We'll have him doing something, according to his means. But we won't take any government money. Not because the government doesn't owe it, but because we can't pray to men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other. And you didn't used to do that in this country. In this country, you used to take care of the needy yourself, the old age yourself, through free will offerings, through charity. You see, the church is one form of a government. That's right. One form of government. That's what it says. Now, if you were to look up the definition of church in the law dictionary today, it would say, Blacks 3rd, Blacks 4th, Blacks 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, says the church in its most general sense is the religious society founded and established by Jesus Christ to receive, preserve, and propagate his doctrines and ordinances. How many churches do you know that have doctrines? Go right down that list. How many lines in their doctrines are actually the words of Christ? And how many lines in their doctrines are the words of men? I've looked at a lot of them. Most of them are the words of men. Opinions of men. Private interpretations of men saying this is the doctrine of Christ. Now, I don't mind if you write all kinds of stuff about what you think the doctrines of Christ are, but the doctrines of the church are not the doctrines of men. They're the doctrines of Christ. If he didn't say it, it isn't his doctrines. And you've got enough. You don't have everything that Christ said. You don't have everything that probably should have been in the Bible. But you got enough. If you could keep to what is in there, you could make it work. But if you add all kinds of other stuff, you know, the interpretations of calendars and dates and holidays and all these other things, then that's not the doctrines of Christ. That's not what he emphasized. What he emphasized is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Feed my sheep. You know, be in the world, but not of the world. If you're going to be one of my disciples, one of my students, this is not the general congregation. This is one of the ministers he was training up to be his appointed church, his little flock. You had to give up everything. Everything and follow him. Total life of service. Can you do that? Do you want to do that? Get a hold of us if you do. But we're going to shake up your parameters because we're going to actually teach you the doctrines of Christ. Show you what he said and what he meant when he said, call no man on earth father. When they talked about having everything in one accord. When they talked about pure religion. When they talked about keeping the commandments. When they talked about being a doer of the word. When they talked about the Corbin of the Pharisees making the word of God to none effect. Once you understand what these means, the doctrines of Christ just start fitting together. The body or community of Christians. That's what the definition of church is. Second line. Body or community of Christians united under one form of government by the profession of one faith and the observance of the same rituals and ceremonies. Rituals and ceremonies. What does that mean? Rituals and ceremonies? You mean, you know, putting on special robes and having incense and getting your cummins and all these things that the Pharisees used to do? Our rituals and ceremonies is how we attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You're not attending to mercy if you're not taking care of the daily ministration. And if you're not taking care of the daily ministration entirely by faith, hope, and charity, you're not the church established by Jesus Christ. If you're sending your congregations and your ministers to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, you're not the church established by Jesus Christ because you're just not doing what he said. You've taken another path. You're going somewhere else. I don't know where you're going. Actually, I can tell you where you're going. The doctrines of Christ are really simple. You gotta realize you got it wrong. That's what the Pharisees couldn't realize. They had it wrong. They didn't want to realize they had it wrong. They didn't want to think they had it wrong. They wanted to think they had it right. I know there are people out there with the heart of Christ. You know, rich men like the ones who came to Jesus said, "I give half of everything I have." He still wanted to do more, and he says, "Well, give it all and become one of my disciples, one of my ministers." Why did he say that? What do you think Moses said to the people in the walled-in camp? Walk out. Give it all up. Walk away. And they did. Why did Barnabas walk away? Why did he lay everything at the foot of the apostles? Why did Ananias get in trouble because he didn't? Because they were seeking to be ministers. We're supposed to return every man to his family, every man to his possessions. But the ministers belong to Christ. They're in the world, but not of the world. That's going to be really tricky. Really hard to do. Really easy to do with Christ. Really hard to do on your own. So you're going to need to know what you're doing. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to start to become disciples of Christ and start training to be the ministers of Christ to operate His government without exercising authority one over the other? Are you ready to be the benefactors of the people, for the people, and by the people in the name of Christ? Are you ready? Do you want to get ready? Because most of you need a little practice, because you're out of practice. Most church doctrines include very few of Christ's doctrines or even His specific instructions, which there were a lot of. Most people don't even know what they are. Like I said, when I talk about the weightier matters, whole room full of pastors, nobody knew what they were. Christ had a list. He gave us that list. These guys go to years of seminary, been preaching something for years, and they don't know what Jesus calls the weightier matters. Something's wrong. Something's seriously, seriously wrong. We need to do some serious soul-searching and repenting. They have removed much of what Christ said and replaced it with what Paul said, or rather what people think Paul said, because they take Paul out of the context of Paul. It's bad enough they take Paul out of the context of Christ. Paul preached the gospel of Christ, and now he was talking about things that were hard to understand, and then you take him out of the context of Christ. I've had preachers tell me that you don't have to do the will of the Father. You just have to believe. Christ said, no, you have to believe. They said, no, that was before he died. No. He knew where he was going. He said that because that's the gospel of Christ. Paul preached that. He told you if anybody is doing this, have no place in the kingdom. Why are they doing all those things? Because they're not doing what Christ said. They're not forgiving. They're backbiting. They're not forgiving. They're false accusing. They're not forgiving. They're gossiping. They're not giving to strengthen the poor. They're making the word of God to none effect, praying to the fathers of the earth to get the Corbin of the Pharisees that makes the word of God to none effect, and you think they're Christians. It's ridiculous. You don't know what I'm talking about? You need to start studying. You need to find out what the Corbin of the Pharisees was. It was the same as the Corbin of Rome at that time. It was the same as the Corbin of Athens. Same. Social welfare systems based on men who call themselves benefactors but only have bread to rightly divide from house to house because they took it by force. Not like John the Baptist said. Now, I know I repeat this, but I repeat it in a lot of different ways because you don't hear it enough. It's like the guy who, I think it was the guy who invented Saxon math. He said second year, I think it was, that he was teaching math. And he was writing it up on the board and all of a sudden he got it. He'd been teaching it. He'd already graduated. He'd become a teacher, and he was teaching it. He didn't get it the first year. It was like a year or two later, all of a sudden, he gets it. He could do it, but he didn't get it. Well, do you get it? If you're not doing what Christ said, you're not following Him. You're not following Him. You're not a Christian. You're taking His name in vain. What's going to happen? Go back to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take His name in vain. You're saying you're a Christian, but you're not doing what Christ said. You're taking his name in vain. And if your church is not taking care of all the social welfare of those people that you're congregating with, you're not a Christian. If you're working in that direction, well, then maybe your father will run out and meet you halfway. But maybe he'll get here and say, get you from me, you workers of iniquity, because you didn't do it quick enough. You're still lollygagging back there trying to say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I ought to, you know, gather together with people. Actually, I don't think I could do it. I think I'll just sit here in doubt. But I believe in Jesus. Well, you don't believe in what he said. You don't believe in his gospel. You're not walking in that direction. You say you repented, but I haven't seen you turn around yet. You need to form these congregations of record that we talk about. You don't need to have a bunch of people next to you. You don't need to have people that are perfect. You come there in order to become perfect, because you come there to serve. You can walk away anytime you want. You're a congregation, a free assembly. But you got to say, you know, I'm gonna see if I can do this. I'm going to get out there and step out of the boat. Try to do this. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What faith? Why is everybody talking about it? Because they believe in some Jesus? No, because they stepped out of the system of Corbin, of Rome, and began to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. That's why. They were living by faith. Faith is that thing that makes you do it. You think you can't do it, you don't have faith. If you don't have the courage to try because you're afraid, you don't have faith. You got hesitation. You got doubt. That's faith. Live by faith. And that's why people are speaking of them. Look at these guys. They're doing the impossible. You're not doing it. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Power of God, not my power. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We've done a lot of shows on belief. Belief wasn't just a thought. It was a conviction. It was that faith conviction that got you to actually do it. And Pentecost, who was there? Jews. And then Greek Jews. And then guys who weren't even Greek Jews or Roman Jews. They're just Romans and Greeks. They're saying, I'm going to have some of that. These guys are doing it. We're still back in make straight the way of the Lord. We haven't got to Pentecost yet. You're not even ready for Pentecost. Some of you are getting that way. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. What? Died that we might be saved. There's no guarantee that we will be saved. Just because we say we believe, we actually have to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Not those who just say, I believe in Jesus, Jesus, or Lord, Lord, but actually are doing it. Doing what that first century church did. I don't know. You know, what do we have to do to wake people up? I can't wake you up. I'm gonna be hard on you. I'm not gonna tickle your ears and say, oh, I know you love one another, and I know you love Jesus. Because I don't know you do. If you want something, you send people to your next door neighbor's house with a gun to make sure they pay for it. If you want something, you'll take it because you said, I paid in. I don't care that I'm running my children and grandchildren into debt. You say, well, everybody complains about the government of the world not being fiscally responsible and balancing the budget. Well, they didn't do it. You're waiting for them to do it. You won't do it. You won't start taking care of one another. You say, well, I can't live without it. Well, maybe you can't. But how hard are you working to bring people together, form those congregations that will start to know one another enough to even want to care for you? We can do this, but you have to start taking steps. We have people that have started taking steps. We have people that are sitting on their hands and not taking any kind of step, squatting in the bushes. They're not moving forward. And that's why you got John the Baptist out here saying, hey, make straight the way of the Lord. Repent, you sinners. Start doing something that actually makes sense. Stop trying to make everybody else do it your way. Start doing it Christ's way. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, trusted and hoped in Christ. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. How do you get life everlasting? What did Jesus say? And they asked Him, how do we get at life everlasting? Keep the commandments. Stop taking His name in vain. Start doing what He said. Start honoring your father and mother. At least take care of your father and mother. Are you doing that, or do you have somebody else doing that? Well, then if you're not taking care of them, then I guess you didn't care about the commandment. Are you making contracts and covenants with other men who will decide for you good and evil and make laws for you? You say you're not under the law. You elected lawmakers and you're under their law. Well, how could we do away with the law? We have to have law where people be robbing. You got the Ten Commandments. What else do you need? Thou shalt not steal. Get somebody stealing, grab them. It's like back to the Girl Scout thing. They give these people all this power and then they complain about how they use it. Why are you giving them that power? Why aren't you doing it yourself? Why aren't you keeping the strings back there where they belong? You didn't do that. You're back in Babylon. Wake up. Your churches are Babylonic. They're as close to Christ as the Pharisees were. If Christ was here, they'd crucify Him again. They said, what do you mean? Give up my Social Security? Well, isn't it the Corbin of the Pharisees that makes the Word of God to none effect? You say, I don't have to take care of my parents. Oh, yeah, I'll go down. I know a guy said he was sole caregiver of his mom. She's collecting Social Security and Medicare, and he's living in her house, living off of her Social Security. She's buying his groceries. How is he the sole caregiver? Come on. How are those nuns, those poor sisters, taking care of the elderly? The elderly are taking care of them. Because the elderly are providing them with Social Security and Medicare checks for the care of these people to the tune of thousands of dollars a month. That's keeping them in bread and butter. Now, they may be good people, but they're not doing it like Christ said. They are dependent entirely upon the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other to provide them with a livelihood of taking care of the children of darkness. Oh, boy. Probably didn't like that. I gotta say it that way so that you repent. I understand you've been fooled. I understand that you didn't know this is the way it worked. I understand that this is a shock to you. I understand that you didn't want to hear this at first, but you're going to have to chew on it. You're going to hear it from me now, or you're going to hear it from Christ later. It's taking you down a path to destruction. Everything in every economy throughout the world is tied back to this simple principle. Your money system, your corruption in your governments in Brazil and Venezuela and wherever you're at, that doesn't matter. It's the same everywhere, just a matter of degree. You're going that way, whether it's the Girl Scouts or KGB. You're giving power to other people because you're not doing it yourself, and Christ and Moses and Abraham showed you a way to do it. The Pharisees twisted that into a mindless, ritualistic religion that divided the people over things like Sabbath and calendars and incense and what shoes you put on first and all kinds of other nonsense. Just like the Amish are dividing themselves up into the width of their suspenders and the brim of their hats. That's trimming your beard. the corners of your beard, that's your gang colors. They divide you over nonsense. Love and charity is simple. Care is simple. Are you doing it or are you not? Are you asking men with guns to provide the benefits you want, the free education and all that stuff? I don't know how to say it any clearer. You guys need to repent. You guys need to turn around. You guys need to go the other way. And you need to go that way quickly, because you're in a lot of trouble. We'll go with that as soon as we get back after this short break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. 2 Timothy 4:22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. But it won't be if you don't repent. Christ preached a way to govern ourselves according to His Holy Spirit, according to His name, according to His appointed form of government, which He appointed His disciples to operate without exercising authority over the people. Because freedom under God only belongs to those who are the children of God. And the children of God are those who obey God. That's why He gives you a parable. Parable of the two sons. Go and do this. And one said he would, but he didn't do it. The other said he wouldn't, but he changed his mind and went and did it. Which one was the son? The one who changed his mind and did it. The other one said he had no king but Caesar. He's no longer the son. The modern church really needs to re-examine its doctrines and mission in comparison to the doctrines and missions of Christ in the context of His doctrines and the activities and apparent mission of the early church that was taking care of all the social welfare needs of the people through faith, hope, and charity in what James calls pure religion. You can sing. You can gather together. You can even put on funny hats and robes. You can pick your special days. But if that divides you from getting the work done that Christ came to do, He came to serve. He didn't come to sing. Doesn't mean He didn't sing, but He didn't come to sing. He came to serve. He didn't come to put more burdens on you. He came to lift the burdens off of you. And the reason the burdens are so heavy is you've been going the wrong way. Is it doing the work of His appointed government or has the modern church has it relinquished its responsibility to the governments of the world to do for them? And have they been established by men for the personal benefit of men? For the extraneous power of men over men? To rule over them like pharaohs and Caesars and Sauls? Where is that going to lead you? You're going to be under an authority that will take and take and take and take and take and take the lives of your sons and your daughters. And you're going to cry out and He's not even going to hear you. Because you've already rejected Him. Somebody thought, is His Holy Church a deist? Are we deists? Good question. Are we deists? No. What's a deist? Do you know what a deist is? I mean, a lot of people say that the early American forefathers were deists. And it's an easy word to kind of throw around. Like, are you a deist, etc., etc. But it really doesn't make much sense to think that we are deists. And I wrote back, I am absolutely baffled how anyone would ask that, is HHC a deist movement? A deist is someone who has the belief based solely on reason in a God who created the universe and then abandoned it, assuming no control over life, exerting no influence. That's a deist. We don't think God has abandoned us. We think we've abandoned God. We've gone out of the presence of God and created some other kind of institution other than the institution of God, undermine the family, not dependent on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, but dependent upon the fathers of the earth who exercised authority one over the other but call themselves benefactors while they're taking away from one family to provide for the other family according to what they believe is good or evil. They have the power that should be exercised by every man in his own family. They have it to exercise power over his family. They even put asunder families to get their will in their way. Because strong families make for strong communities, and strong communities make for weak despots. And there are men who want to be despots and tyrants and rule over. And the reason they come to power is because all of you out there have a little desire to rule over your neighbor. Some of you have a little bit more than others. but all of you have a little desire to turn your neighbor into bread for you, free education for you. Who tempted Christ to turn stones into bread? You're turning your neighbor into bread, free bread and circuses, because you pray to men who exercise authority to make that happen for you. And you pay in a little bit of your sacrifice and offering because you're afraid not to, usually. And now you, knowing the system is bankrupt, want them to go out there and drum up more benefits for you. Better to desire to be dead. What is it? If your right hand, the right hand of government, is occasion of sin to you, better that you cut it off. I'm not saying attack them. I'm saying you stop taking from them and starve. Better you starve, because your soul is at stake. Now, I don't want you to run out and get starving. I want you to be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as the dove. I want you to turn around and go the other way. I want you to seek the righteousness of Christ and His righteous ways and the doctrines of Christ. But anyway, I've been kind of using the preparingyou.com/wiki site under churches as some of the backdrop notes for this show. We're talking about paths. We're not talking about leaps, you know, leaping mountains in a single bound. We're not talking about Superman stuff here. We're talking about basic, simple stuff. Yeah, the direction seems daunting. You know, you ever climb a mountain? You know, you look up there and it's really high up and that top looks really far away. And, I mean, you're taking steps, what, a foot and a half, 2 feet at a time, and you're going up and it's rocky and you're going and you're going and you're going. Seems like it, you'll never get there. I mean, even if you look at the mountain from way off, it seems like I can never get there. But you start walking. Longest journey starts with the first step. So you start going that way. But first you have to turn around and realize that you've been facing the wrong direction for too long a time. You don't just live in the world, you live of the world. And your churches, those nuns, call me up. You got a problem with Obamacare? I'll show you the solution. You know, I'll supply you with a place to start your work and do that work according to the ways of Christ. Yep, there's a different way, and you haven't been going it. And you need to stop that. Your sectarian ways of depending, you have not been caring for those people. Those people have been caring for you. The money that supplies your care facilities, I'm sure you get some donations, but how many thousands of dollars come from the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other? How many? How many of them? That's important to understand that you've been praying to the wrong guys and now they're coming to control your life and your ways. You need to pray to God alone. Do you think you have the courage to start taking care of one another, even if you have to start with sandals in the desert? You know, we'll set up a yurt and you can care for the elderly in the yurt. No, we can set up more than that. We can do more than that. But you got to do it by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You won't have as many employees, you won't have as fancy a facility, but if you want to do that, I'm all for it. Christianity has been derailed. We have an article called Christianity Derailed. And it first went out on News and Views, I think, but it's kind of interesting. We have another one, Are Christians Idiots? And of course, it's kind of a bait and switch. We're kind of giving you a come on of what that really means. Because there was a word, idiotes, in the Bible, the Greek word, and the apostles were referred to it as idiotes, and they try to tell you that that means they were ignorant and uneducated or unlearned. And that's not actually what the word means. And we show you. I just take the definitions. I don't make them up. I just put them in there. You read the footnotes. And you'll find that they weren't idiots. They weren't uneducated or unlettered. They were unregistered. Christian welfare. What is Christian welfare? Again, we've talked about that just now. Taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And what's an apostolic church? I had a minister once say, oh, if anybody claims to be apostolic, you want to get away from that because that's a cult. You know what a cult is? Romans had a cult. They had a cult religion. It was called Corban. It was run through the temples, supported by tax dollars. And they took care of the needy of their society through the men who called themselves benefactors but exercised authority one over the other. That's how they did it. That's how they operated. And that was called a cult. Why? What's a cult? I mean, a cult by one definition, a modern definition. Originally, there's a word cultus in the Latin. But we use the word cult, and it's usually they talk about somebody, charismatic leader, who leads people off away from the Orthodox society and preaches them a doctrine that is different than everybody else. Very charismatic, very loyal followers who even die for their leader and risk their own lives for their leader. I mean, that's what we call a cult, right? That's Jesus Christ. I mean, he fits that definition. He was different than the Orthodox. Of course, the Orthodox were doing the wrong thing, just like today. So he was different. He was saying be in the world, but not of the world. He was going off in the Garden of Gethsemane instead of into the temple. Ah, what a cult leader. But that's not actually how the word was used in those days. The words, and this is actually today. Now, when people talk about a cult, what is the symptom of a cult? Is that they have control over the minds of the people so that they actually keep them from having contact with their families. They keep them from the rest of society where they become isolated and secluded and they can't get away. And you have to have people go in and kidnap them out of the cult, intervention, get them away, get their mind set away from that cult. So that they, and actually protect them from the cult people who will try to snatch them back. Well, you're all in a cult. You're all in a cult because they don't want to let you go. When they were in Egypt, in bondage in Egypt, and Moses said, let my people go. He was talking to them about the Egyptian cult. They were all signed up. They were registered. They were not idiotists. They couldn't leave without permission because they were in debt. They were in bondage. They were in a cult. That's what a cult was. When you are signed up and you have to pay in and you can't leave, especially when the system's in debt, you're paying back. You see, no Sabbath, see? You're paying back. It's not, you're not paying for, nobody's paying for future benefits. Now, you're not up to broke yet. Your system's in debt, so you're paying back. Everything that's being paid in now is trying to pay the debt. They don't want you to pay the debt because as long as there's debt, you're in bondage. Why is there debt? Because you didn't keep the Sabbath. You didn't work and earn it first. You borrowed against the future. To pay for everybody getting benefits today are being paid what's being borrowed from the future. That's where you're at. That's what's going on right now in your government, in your system, in your cult. And you can't get out. But I tell you, if you repent, turn around, start taking care of one another. And those who come out to be a part of the church and are willing to give up everything and tend to a life of service with nothing but faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, you can start teaching this on to the congregations who will support you even during hard times to do this work. And then I believe you've turned around and you've started going the other direction and your kingdom will not be of the world. And there will be a separation of church and state. And you will be on your way back to the Father and the ways of the Father. And you will not make it. without a miracle. But if you turn around and repent, your Father will hear your prayers and He will come out and meet you halfway. Are you ready for that? You think you can do that? You think you're willing to do that? Well, that's where we got to go. So anyway, you can find that at preparingyou.com, also at hisholychurch.org, also thelivingnetwork.org, thelivingnetwork.org will take you back to Preparing You, and you can join up the network in your area, in your state, in your country. And yeah, you might not have a lot of people living right next door, but we have to start looking for the lost sheep. We have to start looking for those people who God is speaking to them in their hearts and in their minds, so that they may be the children of God. They may be those peculiar people who care about one another as much as they care about themselves, are willing to lay down their life. America is the greatest mission field in the world today. In Canada, it's not the third world countries. They have it down closer in many cases, in many ways, than America. America is the one that needs to repent the most, and along with a lot of other socialist nations like England and these others. They're almost dead. I just shudder to think of what's going to happen in a lot of those countries, because they've completely bankrupt themselves spiritually. But still, that's the amazing thing about spiritual things, is no matter where you're born, what place you're born in the world, what society you're born in, you can have that spark of life, that Yod, that divine connection, that revelation. And if you begin, miraculous things. But you got to take those steps, moving out. And so you're going to reach out to others. Why? So they can help you, or so that you can help them. And what's the first thing we have to do? Find the others. And when the ship goes down, what do you first do? Look for survivors. You don't start cooking a breakfast or a banquet. You start looking for survivors to get them in the boat and get them to the shore. So that's where the ship is going down. Let's look for survivors. Let's train up those ministers. Let's start providing for one another as much as we can right now in real churches, doing what Christ said to do, the way He said to do it, completely, with all our hearts, mind, and soul. Not just look for the church that makes us feel comfortable, or makes us feel self-righteous, or makes us think that, oh, we got it because we got the right suspenders, we got the right day, we got the right calendar, we got the right words, we got the right yade vahe, and not have the basic, Christ fed real bread and real fish. What are you doing? Putting burdens on people. Stop it. Repent. Turn around. Let's start being the real church. Let's start being the real kingdom of God and start seeking it and seeking its righteous ways. Can you do that? Will you do that? See us on the network. Join the Living Network. Join with others. Form congregations of record. Get to know one another. Meet us at retreats in Missouri and out here in Oregon or wherever. I'll go wherever you need to go. I'll do whatever, but I'm not going for people who aren't going to start repenting. I'm doing this for Christ, and I'm looking for the repentant who want to do it for Christ too. Who's your daddy? Anyway, we'll continue this again. May peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.